Today's share in the Daf Yomi program is the Gemara in Pesachim, which we just began the new Masechta yesterday, Daf Gimel. And we begin 7 lines from the top. We remind ourselves that yesterday we had a machlokis as to what the words or liarba'os, or you do the bedikas chomitz at the or liarba'os, which we said that Rav Huna's opinion was that or means during the daytime, and Rav Yehuda's opinion was that or means the nighttime, like of course is the halacha that we begin at the beginning of the 14th day of Nisan, which begins in the nighttime. That's when we do the bedikas chametz. So we already schlugged up the understanding that we had of Rav Huna that he means during the daytime, but we're continuing to do that because we're going to finally want to schlug it up directly from our Mishnah itself. So the Gemara continues 7 lines from the top of Gimel Olam Aleph in Maseches Pesachim, and we begin Meisve. Gemara is going to again bring a brisa that goes against Rav Huna's idea that or means the daytime. So the brisa says, Yocho yehi nechal or lishlishi. We're dealing here with korbanos, when you can eat them. Now, a standard korban that's allowed to be eaten, everything but an ola. Ola is not allowed to be eaten. Everything but an ola, there are sacrificial parts, the emurim, the sacrificial fats that go on the mizbeach, but the kohanim or the balan or other people can eat different korbanos. So korbanos that are only eaten for one day, so halachically they're brought and eaten on the day that they're sacrificed after the blood is put on the mizbeach, so then the korban is mutter for either the kohanim or the balan, depending on the type of korban that we're dealing with. So korbanos that are eaten for one day are allowed to be eaten for that day and the following night. Here's an exception to the rule. Normally we say that the day follows the night in halacha, but in regards to korbanos, we say that the night follows the day. In other words, day one, which you're allowed to eat the korban, you're also allowed to eat it the following night. That's the homachlokes that we have by the korban Pesach. Can you eat it all night long, or can you eat it only till chatzos? Whether the rabbis put in a safeguard, because we don't know exactly when dawn is, you may end up eating it afterwards, so maybe you can only eat it till chatzos. But that night after the day is when you can eat a korban for one day and one night. There are exceptions to this rule. A korban shlomim is allowed to be eaten for the day that it's brought, the following night, and then the following day as well. The question the Gemara is going to ask in this brisa is, can it also be eaten the following night too? And that's what the brisa says. Yocho ye nochal or lishlishi. You might have thought that a korban shlomim, which is allowed to be eaten for 2 days and the night in between, should also be allowed to be eaten for the night after the second day. Vidinu, and I would have said it's a kal v'chomer based upon the following argument. Zvachim necholim liomecho. Those korbanos are allowed to only be eaten for one day. For example, you bring a chatos, the kohanim are allowed to eat the korban chatos, the pirkei kohuna can eat the korban chatos that day after the blood is brought and placed on the four corners of the mizbeach, they eat the korban chatos, they can eat that day and they eat it that following night. So, zvachim nechol miyom echoy, for example, this korban chatos can be eaten for one day and the following night, versus ushlamim nechol mishneyam, shlamim allowed to be eaten for 2 days. Now, I would have said from this Kavu Chomer, Malahalon Lailo Acharayom, just like by the Korban Shlomim, you're allowed to eat it on the day that you're allowed to eat it, and then the following night. So I would have said, Kavu Chomer, Avkan, so too by the Shlomim, Avkan, Lailo Acharayom, you should be able to eat it the second night as well. Just like you need the Korbanos that can be brought for one day on the following night, I would have said, you could eat Korbanos that are brought for 2 days on both of the following nights. So that's what I would have said, Kavu Chomer, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, we need a pasuk to tell us. Now, the whole pasuk is, B'yom zivchachem, ye'ochel, umimochras, ve'anosra, yom ha'shlishi, bo'es yisarev. But here we're going to break the parasha up in the following way. We're going to break it up and say, Talmud Lomar, this pasuk is teaching us, B'yom zivchachem, ye'ochel, on the day that you bring the korban, you're allowed to eat it. Umimochras, and on the following day as well. However, v'anosra yom, but it says that you're only allowed to eat it that day. As Rashi says, the Rashi found the first of the wide lines on the Rashi, Ba'od shehu yom mimocharas echol. The pasuk is dashed in the following way, that on the second day, only while it's day, Ba'od shehu yom mimocharas echol. However, v'lo misha tachshach. So this pasuk takes it away from what I might have thought. Just like the korban is only brought for 1 day, you can eat it on the following night. Korban brought for 2 days, you should be able to eat it on both following nights. Therefore, the pasuk tells us, no, only while it's daytime. Ba'od yom hu nechol, the Gemara says, only while it's day, v'eino nechol lior shlishi, but you can't eat it lior shlishi. This will be the critical proof. When we finish reading the brisa, here's where the proof comes from, but it's not allowed to be eaten lior, which means at the night of the third day. Day one is that the korban that you bring it. Day two is the day that you're still allowed to eat it. And now day three, the night that follows day two, which is called day three technically, they're lior shlishi, no longer allowed to eat it. Now, this will be the question on Rav Huna. It says, L'or Shlishi, you can't eat it. Clearly, or means nighttime. Kasha Rav Huna says, or means daytime. But let's finish the Braisa first. Yochel Yisarif Miyat. The Braisa tells us, okay, you have to burn a carbon after it's no sor, if the carbon is no longer allowed to be eaten, so there's a mitzvah to burn the carbonos that weren't eaten. So Yochel Yisarif Miyat. I would have thought then, if you're not allowed to eat it on the second night, so then that's when you should start burning it. You'll have to burn sacrificial fats at night. And Ola, you can burn the Avarim at night. If you didn't burn them during the day, you're allowed to burn them at night. The Tefillah Smarav that we have is Keneged, the burning of the Pidarim and the Emurim, so you're allowed to technically burn it at night. So I might have thought you should burn the Shlomim on the second night, the Dinu, and I would have said, Sekav HaChomer. Again, look at when you're supposed to burn the Korbanos that are brought for one day. You burn them as soon as you're no longer able to be eating them. So Zvachim Necholim Yom V'Laylo Echod, a regular carbon that's allowed to be eaten only on one day, non-shlamim. For example, in my case, the carbon chata. So the Kohanim eat it the day that it's brought, and they eat it that night, and then immediately after the time that they're not allowed to eat it, they go and burn it. Yisarif. So therefore, u'shlamim nechol b'shnei yom v'laylechot. And now we've proven that the shlamim is allowed to be eaten for the day that it's brought, the following night, and then the following day. But then you can't eat it on the following night. So therefore, I would have said, just like malahalon, take it lachil l'sreifa, just like by the carbon chatos, or carbon that's eaten for one day. You eat it that day and that night, and then immediately burn it on the second day. In other words, you burn it immediately on the first opportunity that you have, right after you no longer can eat it. Malahalon tekef leachilas sreifa, so to over here, by the carbon shlamim, avkan tekef leachilas sreifa. You should have to burn it in the first period of time when you're no longer allowed to eat it, which would be the second night. So that's what the Kal B'chomer would have taught me, Talmud Lomer, but we darshan in the Pasuk. V'anosar, the leftover meat, mi besar hazebach from a carbon shlamim, by yom ha'shlishi, bo'eishi, sorry, if it tells us you have to burn it during the day of the third day, and therefore, by Yom HaTosor, if the Pasuk is telling us that you have to burn it on the third day and not on the night of the third day, V'yatosor V'balayla. So now we finished the Braisa. It taught us when you can eat the carbon shlomim. You can only eat it for the day, the following night, and then the following day, but not the following night. And you can't burn it that following night. We have to wait till the following morning to burn it. And that's the Braisa teaching us the dinim of a regular carbon seat for one day versus the carbon shlomim seat for 2 days. Now we get back to the point, which I said is the kash on Rav Huna. Mi deka amar, it said in the middle of this Braisa, he nechal or lushlishi. You might have thought that you're allowed to eat the carbon shlomim at what we called or lushlishi from the first Kal V'chomer that we had. And we prove that that's not true by the ushering of the Pasuk. But what do you see? That the word or l'shlishi means at the night of the third day. Amo or tohu. You clearly see that or means nighttime. Kash on Rav Huna, shma mina. This is another raya against Rav Huna. We're going to again still prove that Rav Huna's din is not correct. Toshma, another braisa that goes against Rav Huna. It says, or shal yom ha-kippurim mispalo sheva u'misvada. Now here we're talking about Yom Kippur, the Shmona Esrei that we see on Yom Kippur. On a normal day, we have the 18/19 bracha Shmona Esrei. The Gemara always refers to the Shmona Esrei. The extra bracha of Lamashinim was added on at a later point in time by Shmuel HaKotan. And that's why it really has 19 brachas, but we still in the vernacular always call it the Shmona Esrei, and that's what we'll call it over here. So when you have the Shmona Esrei on Yom Kippur, so they're shortened. They have the first three and the last three brachos. Those are always inviolate, albeit on Yom Kippur we have some slight insertions in the first three and the last three brachos, but the basic concept of three brachos that are Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you have the last three that are Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you have the Tchinos, the supplications in between. That's the pattern of every Shmona Esrei. So that applies to Yom Kippur too, except that instead of having the 12/13 brachos in the middle, so we just have the bracha for Yom Kippur, which is one bracha. Now, so on Or Shel Yom HaKippurim, and here we're right from the very beginning of this, Braisa is going to be the Raya against Rav Huna, it says, the Or of Yom Kippur, Yidavin, a Shmona Esrei that has seven brachos in it, and you do the vidui as well. That's what umzvada means. We have the vidui, of course, in every Shmona Esrei in Yom Kippur. Now, what does or mean? So we know it means nighttime, and the proof is because the Braisa then continues. It says, by Shachris, the next morning, so it meant that or obviously meant night, by Mariv. So Shachris, the next morning, Mispal Shevel, Mispada. Shmona Esrei also has seven brachos in it, and you say a vidui in it. By Musaf, Mispal Sheva, umzvada. By Musaf, we also have that you have a seven brachos Shmona Esrei, the three first and the three last in violet, and then the middle bracha, which is special for Musaf of Yom Kippur, is also seven bracha Shmona Esrei. Then it says, By Mincha, we also have a seven bracha shmona esrei, and we do the vidui. And on the side now it adds, in the Gemara in Yuma, and the Gemara in Nida, where this brice is also found, it says that the girsa should be over here, b'ne'ila mispalo shevu misvada. And also, of course, there's the extra tefillah that we have on Yom Kippur of ne'ila, so that's also a seven bracha shmona esrei. And you have a shortened form of the vidui over there as well. And then it says, finally, ba'arvis matzah Yom Kippur, the first opinion over here, which is the opinion of the Tanakhama, is that we don't have the regular 18/19 bracha shmona esrei, but we have a bracha that we call havi neinu, which is basically they have the first three and the last three again in violet. You always have those, and instead of having here the 12 or 13 brachas, so we have a regular vachen dika shmona esrei, a chol shmona esrei, a weekday shmona esrei, but we have a shortened form because Chazal said, these people are hungry. Let them get home. So don't have them say the full Shmoneh Esrei. There's a shortened version called Havineinu, which basically has one or two words from each of the 12, 13 brachos in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei and ends off with Shomea Tefillah. So that's what the Tanakhama says we daven by Matzah Yom Kippur. We daven the special Havineinu Shmoneh Esrei. That's not what we do halacha l'maisa. We follow the next opinion. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, no. He said in the name of his fathers, Mishum Avosov, that you daven a regular Shmoneh Esrei, Mispalu Shmona Osor Shleimos. We have the regular 18/19 bracha Shmoneh Esrei. Why? Because you have to have Atachon Antanu in the bracha of Atachon in Liodim Das. And Havineinu doesn't have the ability, for various technical reasons, the Gemara and Brachos discusses this, doesn't have the ability to add on Atachon Antanu in this bracha of Havineinu, this shortened middle bracha. And therefore, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says in the name of his fathers that you have to say a regular, full-fledged Vachin Dika Shmona Esrei, 18/19 bracha Shmona Esrei, with the insertion of Atachon Antanu. That's the brisa. Bottom line is, the brisa started off and said, Orsha Yom Kippurim. Now, that only could be talking about Maariv, right after we daven Kol Nidre. That's the Shmona Esrei that we're talking about. Orsha Yom Kippurim means Maariv on Yom Kippur night. Alma Or Orto. Again, another brisa that shows that Rav Huna is wrong, that Or doesn't mean daytime, it means nighttime. Shmamina, another raya against Rav Huna. And now, we finally get to the point that we wanted to, which is to show that even on Mishnah, the reading can't be understood the way Rav Huna understood it, that orally our basar, as our hava, I mean, has been for Rav Huna, is that he means, it means that you do the bedikas chametz during the daytime. Toshma, we have a brisa, but the brisa is going to reflect upon our Mishnah. And the brisa says, the Tani Dveri Shmuel, they learn the base manager of Shmuel, lele our basar. This brisa says specifically at the night of our basar, Bot kinesa chametz lorinair. You do bedikas chametz. Now that's exactly what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah used the lashon of orli arbaasar, and the Brisa says lele arbaasar. So what do you clearly see from the Brisa? That the word in our Mishnah or means lele. Ama or urtahu. You see that or means nighttime. And we have proven Rav Huna is totally not able to be understood the way we understood him for our Mishnah. We've had several brises, multiple brises, plus we've even shown the lashon of our Mishnah based upon this last brisa cannot be reconciled with the way we originally understood Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, you're right. We misunderstood Rav Huna the whole time. Rav Huna did not mean to say that orally our basa means that you do bedikas chametz on the daytime. But he also agrees you do it at the start of the Yud Daled Nisan in the nighttime. So then, Ella, Bein Rav Huna, or Bein Rav Yehuda, these two mandiyamas that we've been saying from the beginning of the Masechta, have a machlokes, so then they, in fact, don't have a machlokes. In fact, both of them hold the Kuliyamo or Urtahu. Even Rav Huna, and certainly Rav Yehuda, both say that when the Mishnah says, early Arbasa, it means that you do the Bedikas Chametz at nighttime. So then what are they arguing about? So what says they're not arguing? Below plegi. Mar ki asrei, umar ki asrei. Each of them is using the terminology, the vernacular usage of the word or means different terminologies in their different respective locales. So, basrei, the Rav Huna, in Rav Huna's neighborhood, in his shchuna, karu nagi, they said or, nighttime, is referred to as nagi, which means light. It's a euphemism. Right? Uba Asrei, Rav Yehuda. In Rav Yehuda's neighborhood, Karulele. They didn't use a euphemism. They said, Or means nighttime. So therefore, they both say that Or means nighttime. Everybody agrees, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda agree that Bedikas Chametz is done at the nighttime, and they just refer to Or. One referred to it as light, and one referred to it as night. So therefore, not a problem. No machlokes. Shmuel asked the obvious question, the Tana Didan, the Tana of Mishnah, why did he use this terminology? Or that could be left open to question, what exactly does it mean? My time alok tani lele. Say, if our Mishnah started off lele, our boss, or you do b'dikas chametz, then our Masechta would be missing daf beis. It wouldn't need daf beis. It wouldn't need daf gimel until we are right now, because that's all self-understood if the Mishnah had used the terminology lele instead of ar. So why didn't the Tana of our Mishnah take the simple usage of the word rather than this unknown word or and have to have a whole blot and a half discussing what does or mean? So one says, no, very important idea. Lishna ma'aliyah hudin akad. And this is going to be the segue into most of the rest of today's shir. The Mishnah is teaching us, the Tana of our Mishnah is teaching us that you should speak with a nice language. Lishna ma'aliyah, a high level of language, rather than using a lower, a more debased type of a language. And this is in accord with what Rabbi Shua ben Levi, what he taught us. The Rabbi Shua ben Levi, said, La'olam ayotzi adam dover meguna mipiv. A person should never say something disgusting. Nothing disgusting should ever come out of your mouth. A dover meguna is a low type of a word. No type of low-level word should come out of your mouth. Rashi points out over here in Dibra Maschu, Dover Maguna, that Lav Mishum Delele Dover Maguna. It's not that the word nighttime is a disgusting word or an improper word. Of course, there's nothing wrong with saying the word Laila. But what Rav Yeshua ben Levi is telling us here, it's Vahal, the Rav Yeshua ben Levi is Ba'al Mo'itmar. He's teaching us a general idea. Umiyu Shamina Mino Loshon Chachomim Lechazer Asher Loshon Tzach Vinoki. The rabbis are teaching us to say a nice, clear, clean language. And how do you see that? He says, Shahari Ikem Akosuv Shmona Osios. The Torah added on an additional 8 letters when it didn't have to do so. In order, below Hotzi Dovah Maguna Mipiv, that you shouldn't have a not so nice word come out of your mouth. In other words, the Torah is telling us it pays sometimes to use a longer lashon. We know the default position is to always, as the Gemara is going to tell us, to use the most concise and shortest language, and that leaves sometimes that there's no doubt as to what you're saying. But if that shortest language is going to be somewhat of a more coarser or more maguna type of a language, so then the chiddush of the Tana is, instead of using the word lele, he used the shorter word or. And that's the idea that we're learning here today, that you shouldn't use certain words that are more maguna, but you should also use the shortest form possible. So what are we saying over here? So Rav Shua ben Levi is telling us, Lohotzi dovi maguna mipiv, the Torah would rather use an 8 extra letters than use a not-so-nice language. Shenemar, what's the not-so-nice language? When Noach brought the animals into the teva, into the ark, so it says he took min habehemo hatorah, he took the kosher animals. We know he took either 7, or some suggest he took 7 pairs of kosher animals, other opinions as well. Now for now, min habehemo hatorah he took, and then it should have said min habehemo hatzmeya, from the non-kosher animals. The language of tmeya used in the sense of animals always refers to non-kosher animals, but that's not what the pasuk said. Instead, the pasuk said min habehemo asher Einena Tahora. So it used the word Asher has 3 letters, Einena has 5 letters, Tahora has 5 letters, so 3, 5, and 5 is 13 letters, instead of using the word Min HaBehema HaTemeya. So Temeya, HaTemeya would be 5 letters. So instead of using 5 letters, which would have gotten the idea across, the Torah used an extra 8 letters, a total of 13 letters, to teach us that we should be using nicer expressions. Use the words asher einenu tahora, that it's not tahor, rather than saying tame, that something is impure. Gemara says, Rapapa says, I'll give you a better example. Instead of just 8 letters, I'll show you a place where it says 9 letters that the Torah used extra. Shinamar, it says, in regards to talking about a person who has a tumor coming out of his body, and that it says, Shinamar, kiye b'cho ish asher lo ye tahor, Mikre Laila. If a man has what we call a seminal emission, he has a discharge that makes him tame. Now it says, Ish, it could have said, Kiebucha Ish Tame. But instead it said, Asher Lo Yet Tahar Mikre Laila. So we have the words Asher, which is 3, Lo, which is 2 more, Yihiyeh, which is another 4 more, so we have 9, and then the word Tahar, which while it's spelled with a vav, it technically didn't need the vav, so we're only going to call that 3, and that's how we get 12. So it says, 12 letters when it could have said 12 extra letters, Asher, Lo, Yiyeh, Tahar, when it could have just said Tomei, 3 letters. So 12 minus 3, or 12 instead of 3, is 9. And that's the extra 9 letters the Rapapa says the Torah used. Ravina says it's 10 letters. Ravina Amar Esa, because Vav, the Tahar. There is a Vav in the word Tahar. Well, Rapapa said it technically didn't need to be there, and it's coming there to give us a drasha. So he didn't include it, but Ravina says that, no, we do include it. There are 10 extra letters over here. It says 13 extra letters, and instead of the word Tomei, 3, and therefore there are 10 extra letters. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, he says even more. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Sheishesrei. The Torah went to the extent of adding 16 extra letters to show us this idea that it didn't want to use this more debased type of a phrase. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Ki Amar Mikre Hu Bilti Tahar Hu Kilo Tahar. So we have all these words. It could have just said Ki Amar Mikre Hu Tame. So it could have just said the word Tame here. But instead it said Bilti, which is 4 letters, Tahar, another 4 letters, Hu, which is 3 letters, so we're up to 11. Ki is another 2 letters, we're up to 13. Lo is another 2 letters, we're up to 15. And Tar is another 4 letters, we're up to 19. So instead of saying just 3 letters Tame, it said 19 letters, so there are an extra 16 letters that are brought down over here. That's Rav Acha Bar Yaakov telling us that the Torah went out of its way to write 16 extra letters rather than using a not-so-clean term such as Tame. That's the Brice that Rav Shimon Levi is teaching us. That is the additional statements that Rapapa, Ravina, and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov tell us that we go to the extent to use clean tzach v'noki phraseology rather than using a more maguna type of phraseology. Similarly, Tanya Devei Rabbi Shmuel, they learned the base manager of Rabbi Shmuel, Lo'oli Misapir Adam Loshon Nikiya. A person should always try to speak with a very fine language, a Loshon Nikiya, a clear, clean language. And how do we know this? Sha'arei Bezov, by the Tumah of a Zov, when the Zov sits on something, there's a certain type of Tumah, he rides on something, it's called Tumas Merkov. There is a slight difference between Medrus and Merkov, those that are doing the Mishnah Yomis. So the Mishnah Yomis is in the middle of Kalim right now, and we just had a whole discussion about the slight differences between Tumas Medrus and Tumas Merkov. For practical purposes, it just has to do with Maga and Masa under certain situations, but we won't get into that right now. We're using them relatively interchangeable, Tumas Moshav, Umishkov, and Merkov. So they're all different types similar types of Tumah to Tumas Medrus. When a person has a body discharge type of a Tumah, so when they sit on something or ride on something, lean on something, that can cause the item that they're sitting on to become an Ava Tumah. That's in general known as Tumas Medrus. And there's slightly different variations whether you're sitting on something or riding on something. In any event, it says, Shari Bezov, when a Zov sits on something, a Zov is a man, it uses the terminology of Merkov. So if a man is riding on something, so that object becomes an Ava Tumah, and we call it Merkov. As opposed to when a woman is riding on something, or Beisha, the terminology that the Torah uses, Karo Moshav, that it's called, it has a seat rather than it's something that she rides upon. Because when a woman rides, so her legs have to be on, they would normally sit side saddle. If they weren't using the term Merkav, they would use the term Moshav to show that she's sitting side saddle. We don't want the woman to be sitting with one leg on one side, one leg on the other side. That's a non-sneer sticker position. And therefore, by a woman, we use the terminology Moshav, and by a man, Azov, we use the terminology Merkov, even though they're referring to the exact same thing. So you see here, in the base manager of Yishmael, they learned that you should speak with this Lashon Nekiya, even though it's talking about the exact same thing. When Azov is riding, we call it Merkov. When a woman is riding, we call it Moshav. But we don't stop over here. We then give two additional examples from Psukim. So the first one is the Pasuk in Iyov, and it says, V'omer v'sivchar lashon arumim. You should go and pick the language of the arumim. Arumim means the people that have chokhmah, they have wisdom. And then it says further later on in Iyov, V'omer, it also says, V'das sifosai borur milelu. And you should, your lips, they should have over here, das. They should speak with das. So we'll see that these two psukim and Iyov also tell us that a person should have this lashon of nikia when he speaks. So the Gemara asks, we had a pretty good raya from the case of the Zarvit uses Merkov and the Ishat uses Moshav. Why do we need these other two psukim from Iyov? So the Gemara says, "My Omer, why do we need two additional psukim from Eov to bang home the point?" So Gemara says, "V'chitemah, you might have thought that only the Torah has an obligation, so to say, to speak with a lashon nekiyah, but a person doesn't. V'chitemah, hani mili b'daraisa. When the Torah speaks, so the Torah obviously is, of course, pure, divine, perfect. So the Torah, of course, is going to speak with a perfect language." But new, when you're speaking and learning, you could say tameh, you could say words that aren't as refined. Abu with the rabbanon lo. So therefore, Toshma, we have the first pasuk in Eov to tell us va'omer when talmidei chachamim are talking Torah, va'omer v'sivcha loshon arumim. They should also speak with a very proper tzach v'noki type of a language. No, you'll tell me, okay, when I'm learning Torah, I have to speak that way, but when I'm talking about the Mets, when I'm talking about secular events, when I'm talking about business, I can speak any way I want. When I'm learning Torah, then I have to be careful with my language. But when I'm just speaking secular, non-Torah, non-religious type of language, lo, I don't have to speak with such a perfect type of a language? No, that's why we have the second pasuk in Eov. That's why I tell us that you always have to speak with proper language. Now the Gemara says, this raya that we brought down from the Beis Medrash of Yishmael is not so perfect. Are you telling me that we never ever use the terminology of merikov by a woman because that's a lack of tznius? It's an improper maguna type of a language. But the psukim themselves, in last week's parasha, Parashas Chayisara, it says when Rivka comes back from Padan Aram to meet Yitzchak, Voksiv, Vatokom Rivka Vinaroseha, Rivka and her women that were with her, Vatirkavna Alagmalim, they rode on the camels. So the Torah itself uses the Lashon of America in regards to women. So how can you, Rabbi Shmuel, in your base medrash, teach that it's not proper to use the Lashon of America when you're dealing with women? So the Gemara answers, no. Camels are different. When you're riding a horse, you're riding a donkey, we don't use the Lashon of America. But also, Mishum Biasuso Digmalim, when you're riding on a camel, camel's much higher up in the air. As Rashi says, the bottom of Rashi, the last Rashi on the daf, Shugavoa, a camel's back is much higher than a donkey or a horse. Umisyore, and the woman riding on it, is afraid, Shetipo, that she's going to fall down. So therefore, she rides not side saddle on a camel, but she rides with one foot on the right side and one foot on the left side. And therefore, Urcho Deisho Lirkov, Kideshite Muchzekes Bobiodayim Raglayim. It's a much sturdier way to ride when you have a foot on the right, foot on the left. You're sitting square and you're holding on to the animal, you won't fall off. So when we're dealing with a camel, even by a woman, it's considered the normal way to ride. It's not a Lashon Maguna, it's not an improper usage of the word. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says the same idea. Mishum pachad shemisyora lirkov derech yeshiva. She can't ride side saddle on a camel. Shelo tipo. So efshar shelo lahaski ruchiva ein alav klum. So therefore, there's no problem using the lashon of ruchiva by camels. Mor says, but wait a second. It says elsewhere, when Moshe was returning from Midian back to Mitzrayim, it says that he took his wife and his sons, Gershon and Eliezer, and he made them ride on the chamar. Now, his wife, Tzipora, is there. Why does he use the lashon of Vayar Kiveim? So Moshe says, no, that's not a problem. Hosson, return to the Yom HaDeis, there you're dealing with his sons, his boys, Gershom and Eliezer, Mishum Banov, Archo. So therefore, it uses the lashon of Vayar Kiveim, because he's talking about his sons. Oh, and by the way, the mother, but that's not a lack of tznius. Moshe says, one more time, Voksiv, now the girsa that we have in the Gemara is Vihi, but the pasuk actually be Vahaya Hi, Rocheves Alachamor. Here we're talking about when Abigail is going to beg David for mercy not to kill her husband, Novel. Novel had been married by Malchus. David was already the king, and Novel treated him in a very bad way after David did a lot of favors to Novel. So Novel was going to die, so Abigail goes to David, and she rides to David, and here it's not a donkey, not a camel, and it's no sons there, it's just Abigail, and it uses the terminology Rocheves Alachamor, Kasha, on this idea that we don't use a term in the Tanah Bei Shmuel, that we don't use the terminology Rocheves when it comes to a woman. It's not Tznius, it's Maguna. So Gemara says, no. Again, why is this an appropriate usage of Rocheves, that she's not sitting side saddle? Because Hosam, in this case, Abigail's running to David on the donkey, and she's riding at night. and therefore it's dangerous to ride at night. You can't see as well, it's bumpier, and there's more of a fear that you'll fall off. So because of the pachad, biasusa means pachad, of the laila, orchu, it's also proper for women not to ride side saddle at this time, but to ride in the normal way, and therefore that's why it's not a bizoyon, not a dover maguna, to say that she was rocheves ala chamar. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, teretz number two, Yibai Seven, no, Mishum Biasusa de Lele Leker. No, it wasn't because of the riding at night that was the concern, but you know what? Mishum Biasusa de David Ika. What was she going to do? She was going to the king, David HaMelech, to beg for her husband's life, and she was afraid. And therefore, because of her fear of going to meet up with David, that's why she held on tightly and rode in the male way of riding rather than side saddle. If you don't like that, teretz, Yibai Seima, Biasusa de David Nami Leker. No, she wasn't terrified of David. And therefore, the first two terutim, it wasn't a danger for her to ride at night. It wasn't a danger for her because of David. But what was the reason that she didn't ride side saddle? Mishum Biasusa de Har Ika. She was coming down a mountain. When you're coming down a mountain, it's a much more dangerous type of a ride. And therefore, she didn't ride side saddle. So again, the Tanah Dvei Rishmo, the Braisa that we learned, that we don't use the terminology of Maguna, terminology of Rocheves for a woman, is true even though we brought several exceptions to the rule. Now the Gemara tells us, Ubaraisa Miloksiv Tame. Really? Is that true? That we never write the word Tame? We said, Behema Asher Lo Tahora. Is that always the way that we always use it? We don't write the word Tame. We find the word Tame all over the place. So Gemara says, you're right. Elo Kol Hecha Dechi Hadodi Ninu. Whenever the language that you could use is exactly the same, if you use the more Nakia language versus the more Maguna language, so then Mishtoi Belosh Nakia, then we always have the nicer language. However, Kolecha Dinefish and Mile, but if one language is longer than the other, except in the first time that the Torah wanted to teach us this point, so normally, if one language is longer than the other, we prefer the shorter language, Mishtoi Beloshim Tzara, because the Gemara tells us in a moment that it's always better to use a shorter language. It's less problematic, less mistakes. Kedama Rafuna Amar Rav, as Rafuna said in the name of Rav, his Rabbi, or we find that that statement was made not only in the name of Rav, but Rav said in the name of his Rabbeim, Rav Milei Amar Rafuna Amar Rav, and it says Mishum Rabbeir. Now, why does he use the terminology Mishum Rabbeir? Why doesn't it say Amar Rafuna Amar Rav Amar Rabbeir? Because whenever we use the terminology Mishum, it means that there are a number of other intermediate Rabbeim, but we just don't know who they were. So Rav didn't live in the same time as Rav Meir. Rebbe, who was Rav's Rebbe, says, I only saw the back of Rav Meir. In other words, Rebbe, who's much older than Rav, he only lived a short time while Rav Meir was alive. So Rav never lived when Rav Meir was alive, and therefore Rav couldn't have heard this directly from Rameyer, but the Gemara doesn't record who Rav heard it from, but ultimately it was said in the name of Rameyer. That's when it uses the terminology Mishum throughout Shas. It means that it wasn't a direct transmission. There are other people that we don't know that aren't listed. In any event, this statement was made either Mishum Rameyer or Rav said it on his own, and he said as follows, Lolam, Yishana Odom L'Talmido Derech Kitzara. Person should always learn to speak to his Talmidim in the most precise fashion. He should do it Derech Tzara, in a shortened fashion. The greatness of Rashi, why is Rashi called the greatest Parshan? Why does every Chumash, every Gemara have Rashi in it? Because Rashi very succinctly goes and tells us exactly what it means. With one or two words, Rashi sometimes can give us an entire question and answer and a whole discussion. And that's the most concise way that a person should always speak, and therefore, La'oli mishana odom l'talmido derech kitzara. That's the idea. Gemara says, really? Is it true that if they're exactly the same, then we always take the nicer language? But that's not true. The Yosheves, we could have used the terminology Rocheves, or we could have used the terminology Yosheves, they each have the same number of letters. Rocheves has five letters, and Yosheves has five letters. So why the Kamar Rocheves? Why in the pasuk that we just had before from Abigail did it use the terminology of Rocheves? It could have said the word Yosheves. So the Gemara says, Rocheves, there's no vav in Rocheves, it only has four letters. And that's why that's a more Loshon Kitzara than Yosheves, which has five letters. And the obvious question is, which Rashi alludes to here, and Rashi says, so you could have also said the word Rocheves without the vav. Your argument that it says Rocheves instead of Yosheves is because Rocheves is chaser, it's missing the vav. So then write the word Yosheves, missing the vav as well. So Rashi says in Diva Maslo Rocheves Kiv, Vapagav the Moshe Limichtav Nami Yosheves Chaser Vav. It also could be written that way. Mihu, Kol chaserul shebetorah lidrosh hein boyin. No, every time you have a chaser, you're missing a vav in the Torah, it's to teach us a specific drasha. And here, the drasha with rocheves is teaching us, ukan limedcha b'chisaron zeh. By not having the vav in rocheves, it's teaching us shetitvos lashon kitzara. It's telling us, why do we use the word rocheves without a vav here? To tell us that it's preferable to use the term that's shorter, which we wouldn't have known if it used the term yosheves. Vafilu hu maguna. And the chiddush says, even if the shorter word is a more of a lashon that is maguna, a coarser type of a language, it's still preferable in this situation to use the shorter, coarser language than the longer, more nekia language. That's the chiddush, and we would only know that from rocheves and not from yosheves. So it teaches us you should use lashon kitzar v'afili maguna, shari kan topas lashon maguna, but v'kotzar. So that's why it tells us rocheves without the vav rather than yosheves without the vav. Now the Gemara is going to give us some examples of these principles that we just outlined and show us some people that didn't do it right. Rav had two tamidim that were one sitting in front of him. After the shir, they were satiated from the shir, so to say, and they were tired from the shir. So one of them used the terminology, Chadamar Shavisinon Haishmaisa. This shir that we just had, all these shmaises that we just learned, they've made me tired, kedover acher misankon. They made me tired like a dover acher. Now, dover acher is a lashon nekiya that we use to describe a pig. And misankon means ayefos. Rashi brings psukim to show that this is true. And therefore, he's saying, we're like pigs that are tired. Now, that's not a very nice language, even though we use the terminology of dover acher. So that's what the first Talmud used. We're like pigs that are tired. Second Talmud said, "V'chadamar shavisina and haishmaisa." This shear made us so tired. It was such a good shear, but it was such a draining shear. We're tired, like kigidi misankon, like a gidi. A gidi is a much more bechavadik of an animal than a pig, and we're tired like a gidi. So Rav heard the Talmidim talking, and Rav was upset with the first Talmud who referred to himself as a dover acher misankon. He made me like an exhausted pig. Rav didn't want to have anything to do with the first Talmud. He didn't speak to the first Talmud because of this lack of niceness, refinement in his language. Similarly, the one time two Talmidim that were sitting in front of Hillel. Now, who are these Talmidim? So it's a machlokes. V'chad minayu, Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai. One of them we know is Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai. Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai is mentioned in a number of places as being one of the lower, smaller Talmidim of Hillel, the great Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai, who was an unbelievably great Tana. So Hillel has 80 Talmidim, and Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai is considered one of the least of those Talmidim. In any event, Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai, the great, great, great Tana, Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai, he was once sitting with some other Talmud in front of Hillel, we don't know who. That's the first version of who's sitting here. Others say, V'amila, it was Kamei the Rebbe. It was two Talmidim sitting in front of Rebbe, and one of them was a Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan was Zakkai, V'chami na Rabbi Yochanan, our standard Amor, Rabbi Yochanan. And each case over here, whether it's Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai in another Talmud, or it was Rabbi Yochanan in front of Rebbe with another Talmud, so whoever it was, so V'chad Omar, one of the Talmidim said, Mipnei ma botrin betara. Why do we use over here the terminology of botrin, of picking grapes, when we say betahara? You have to use clean utensils because the grape juice will come off and it will be juice that you desire to come off, and therefore it could accept tumah, as opposed to, therefore you must use clean utensils, tar utensils when you're picking grapes, as opposed to v'ein moskin b'tara, but you don't have to do b'tahara. He didn't say you can do b'tuma. He says v'ein moskin b'tara. Use the clean language when you're dealing with olives. So he used the lashon of botrim b'tahara, and he used the lashon of v'ein moskin b'tara. We have different words. Hebrews are a very rich language, and we have different words for harvesting or picking off grapes versus olives. By grapes, we use the term botrim, and by olives, we use the term moskin. That's not what we're interested in, though. We're interested in, he uses by grapes, either Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai or Rav Yochanan, depending on which version we have. They use the terminology of b'tahara and Ein moskin b'tahara, instead of saying moskin b'tmeya. Whereas the second Talmud said, whoever it was, v'chadamar, b'nei ma botrin b'tahara, u'moskin b'tumah. So the second Talmud used the terminology of moskin b'tumah. So the Rebbe said, either it was Hillel speaking to Rav Yochanan Zakkai and the other Talmud, or it was Rebbe speaking to Rav Yochanan and the other Talmud. So the Rebbe said, Omar, Mufta Chariba Zeh, I am certain that the first Talmud, either Rav Yochanan Zakkai or Rav Yochanan, depending on the scenario, I'm certain, Muftach Ani Bazeh, I can guarantee, Shemora Rabbi Yisrael, I can see that this person's character is a very fine character, and he's a very big Talmud Chacham, that he's certainly going to be a Mora HaRabbi Yisrael, and in fact, that's what happened. Lo Yoyom Muatim, it wasn't a long time, Ad Shehora HaRabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, or Rabbi Yochanan, they became big, great Gedolim in Klai Yisrael, big, great Poskim, as opposed to the second Talmud, he didn't say that about. That's the simple gears that we have. There's actually a Ran that brings down a Tosos, not our Tosos over here, but he brings down a Tosos that says that he actually was praising the second Talmud for using the more shortened form by saying Moskin Betuma. But that's not correct. He says the Ran doesn't like that pshat, and the correct pshat seems to be the way that we learned it, which is that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, or Rav Yochanan, was the one that was being praised over here for using this proper terminology rather than using the Lashon of Moskim Betuma, which could imply that you must do it Betuma. Another story, Hanutz Losakani, there were once three Kohanim who had gotten some of the Lechem upon him. It's a big zechus for the Kohanim on Shabbos to go get the Lechem upon him, and the Gemara elsewhere talks about it, how people would grab for this, and then the Tznuim Kohanim would only take a very small amount, and it's a great nace that even a very, very small amount, even Pachas B'Kizayis, would satiate somebody. In any event, these three Kohanim got some of the Lechem upon him, and one of them said, Chadamar Luhu, and one said to the others, Higiani Kipol, I got a piece of the lechem upon him that's the size of a small bean. We have the pol hamitzri throughout Shas, like a small bean, kipol. The other Kohen, one of the other Kohanim said, v'chadamar, higiani kizayis. Ah, I got a whole kizayis worth. And the third Kohen used a not nice language. The first two languages, kipol or kizayis, are perfectly defined languages. The third Kohen said, v'chadamar, higiani kiznav halitor. I got the size of a piece of the lechem upon him, like the size of a tail, kiznav, of a halotah. Halotah is one of the Shmona Shvatzim that I mentioned in Parsha Shmini. And this was very improper type of a language, and therefore, Bad Kuach, they checked after him, and they found Taka, he wasn't a good Kohen. Umotzebo Shemetz Psul. They found that he actually had a status of being a cholol, Rashi says. He wasn't a good Kohen. Others explain, Tosus explains, or Rina Chananel explained, that he had worshipped the Avodah Zorah, either a real Avodah Zorah, or that he came from Beis Chonyo, and those Kohanim weren't allowed to go and serve in the Avodah. So the Gemara says, really? Now the Gersa that we have is V'ho Tanya, but on the side it says it should really be V'ho Tan. This is a Mishnah. It says, Ein Botkim in HaMizbeach L'mala. Once a Kohen works on the Mizbeach, in other words, a Kohen that does the Avodah, that's it. You can assume that they properly checked out his Yichus, and you don't have to go suspect or check out anymore that he's not a perfectly 100% valid Kohen. So you see here that this Kohen got Lechem upon him, Mistami was doing the Avodah, and yet there was a Shemetz Pasul. So how could that be? So it says, you're right. Lo Tema Shemetz Pasul. It wasn't really a lineage problem. It wasn't the fact that he was a Cholo. So what was his problem? Elo, either Emo Shachatz Psul. Rashi explains over here that Shachatz Psul means Hu Atzmo Hayo Gas Ruach. He was an arrogant person. Umavazi Kotchi Shemayim. He was desanctifying. He was Mavazi. He was embarrassing the Kotchi Shemayim. So that was the Shachatz Psul that he had. Alternatively, one says, Vibois Emo Shiny Hossim. It was different. That time, they actually made a mistake. They didn't check him out well. Diyu, the Eira Navshe, as Rashi points out, that he himself, the Hitzrich B'dika Achlov, once they saw, they said, we better redo our checks. And they did the background check, V'gila, Shalom Badku, Yofa, Mitchila. And they saw that they didn't do a good enough job the first time in figuring out what lineage this person had. Tamar continues telling us another story. Hahu Armor There once was a non-Jewish person, an Aramean, who would go up and eat from the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. Of course, this involves two problems. Number one, he's not Jewish, and only a Yid is allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. And number two, he wasn't circumcised, he was an Orel. So there was a double problem over here. And he bragged about this to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, Omar. Ksiv, it says in your Torah, Kol ben Necho L'Yochabo, it says in your Torah that a non-Jewish person is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. And it says in your Torah, Kol Ora Leyochabo, and it says the person who has an Bris Milah is not allowed for the Korban Pesach. And yet, ha, he bragged, Vana, I, Haka Chilma, Mishufre Shufre, I myself personally ate from the best of the Korban Pesach, from the best meat of the Korban Pesach. I trick them and tell them that I'm Jewish and that I'm a circumcised Jew, and they give me from the Korban Pesach. So review the Misera, who was living far away, Tosus points out that he was either living in Chutz Laretz, or that he was sick and old and wasn't able to come up to Yerushalayim for the Korban Pesach. There's a fascinating Gemara elsewhere that tells us that Rav Yehuda Maseru was one of the descendants of the Shevet Ephraim that had left the Midbar and had tried to enter into Eretz Yisrael early, and they were killed. And there's a Medrash that says that they were the bones that were resuscitated in the famous dry bones prophecy of Yechezkel, and that he's actually therefore one of those descendants, and he didn't have a share in Eretz Yisrael. Those descendants didn't have a share in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he was exempt from the Korban Pesach, and that's why he didn't go up to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach. In any event, Rav Yehuda Maseru is going to save the day. He can't get to Yerushalayim. He's too old or too weak, or he's living far away. And he is going to figure out a way that he'll tell the people in Yerushalayim that they're dealing over here with a trickster, and this Armor is going to get into trouble. So Yehuda Maseru tells this Armor, you're bragging that you get the best type of meat, Mishufrei Shufrei. Amalei Rav Yehuda Maseru, you think they're really giving you the good stuff? Mikos Safu Lo Ma'aya, did they give you the tail of the animal? Now, a gedi, a goat, you are allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach the tail, but a sheep, which was the normal, it could be a goat or a sheep, but normally we bring a shepsela, so that you give the aliyah goes on the mizbeach, that's part of the sacrificial fats, and it's not eaten. So Yehuda Maseru told the Sarmor, go and tell them that they're not giving you the good stuff. You want to get the good stuff. As Rashi points out, hey, I'm paying to be part of this Korban Pesach. I want to get the filet mignon. I want to get the really good stuff. So that's what Yehuda Maseru told them. Mikos Safu Lo Ma'aya, did they give you from the Alya? And the Aramean said, no, they didn't. I'm a lay low. So Yehuda Maseru told them, Kisokus Lahasam, when you go there next time, Amalu, go tell him, Safu Li Mi'aya, I want you to give me the Alya. Good. So this person goes up there, this Aramean goes up next time for the Korban Pesach. Kisolik, Amalu, he told him, hey, how come you're not giving me the Alya? The Alya is Sofuli. Give me from the good stuff, the Alya. Now they're shocked at this because every Yid knows that the Alya is sacrificed in the Mizbeach. Samalei, Alya, Ligavolik, Salka. The Alya, the tail of the sheep, of the little shepsel, the Korban Pesach, that's brought in the Mizbeach. Amalei, so he says, something's funny over here. Man Amar Lo Hochi. Who told you to ask for the Alya? So he told them, Amalu, you're Yehuda Maseru. Yehuda Maseru told me to. So they said, something's fishy. Amru, my haid to come on. What's going on over here? Rashi points out that they basically said, Mahadavar azeh shabolafneinu. Something is fishy over here. Yehuda Maseru, the God of Adar, certainly knows that you can't eat from the Alya, and yet he's telling us to give this person the Alya. Something is fishy. So they checked, Botku, Basrei, they looked after who this guy really was, and they found out, Yashuchu, Diarmohu, they found out that he wasn't a Yid, Uktalu, and they killed him. And Minchas Chinuch, he brings down that an Ay is also Mechuyev over here. This is one of the mitzvahs for everybody that only a Yid can eat the Korban Pesach, and therefore, if a guy eats the Korban Pesach, his punishment is death. As he points out, Azarason Luvnei Noach Zuhi Misasa. They're warned not to do this, and that's their Hasra. And therefore, he was Chayav Misa Uktulu, and the Beis Din killed him. And they sent to ultimately to Rabbi Yehuda Maseru, Shochle Rabbi Yehuda Maseru, Rabbi, Shalom Loch Rabbi Yehuda Maseru. They said to him, Shalom to you, our Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Maseru, the Atbi Netzivim. You're far away over here in Netzivim. Tosus points out that Netzivim may have been outside of Eretz Yisrael, or certainly was far away from Yerushalayim, and that's another reason why he didn't go up for the Korban Pesach. If you're beyond a certain distance, you're not mechuyev to go up. Umetzudascha perutz of Yerushalayim. Yet your net is spread out, and you're able to save us over here in Yerushalayim. Again, this was a tremendous thing that Rehuda Maseru was able to accomplish from afar. Now we go back to some ideas of how a person should speak properly. Rav Kahana Cholash, Rav Kahana got sick, and Shadrua Rabbanon, L'Rishua Birei, the Ravidi, and they sent to Rav Yeshua, who was the son of Ravidi, to tell him, Amrulei, go, and zil bodik my dine. See what happens to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana had gone from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted to know what his state was. Was he, in fact, alive or not? When Yeshua Berei the Ravidi got there, he saw Nebuch that Rav Kahana had passed away. Kari l'vushe, so he ripped Kriya. When the Gadol Hador passes away, Rebbe Muvik passes away, so then you rip Kriya. And that's what he did. Kari l'levushay. V'ahadre l'kari l'chore. And he didn't leave it on the front like we normally do, but he turned the shirt around so the tear was in the back so people wouldn't see it right away. U'bachav yasi. And he was crying and he came back to them. Omulei. So the people who had sent him, the rabbanim who had sent him, said, what happened? Noch nafshei? Did Reb Kahana pass away? So amalahu. He didn't want to tell them that directly. He says, ana lo kamina. I wasn't the one that told it to you. Because it says that a person shouldn't go around looking to tell bad news. And if somebody does so, he's considered a fool. Similarly, another story. Yochanan Chakuka. Yochanan, who came from this place called Chakuka. That's one pshat over here. Another pshat, Tosa says, from the Rinu Chanana, was that he was a sofer. And the Ri brings down that this was a city, Chakuka, as I pointed out before. Rashi says over here that this was a kinui Hashem. This was some sort of a nickname that he had. Fine. In any event, this Yochanan Chakuka, Nofak L'Kiyosa, he came to some of the little villages that were in the country to go and see what's doing with his produce, with his crops. As Rashi says, L'Kfarim Liros Bitfuos, he went to the villages to see what's doing with his wheat, and Kiyosu Amulei, when he came back, the people asked him, Nu, Chitin Nasu Yofos, Nu, how are the crops doing? Is the wheat going well? So Amalem, he said, Soorim Nasu Yofos. He said, the barley's going well. He didn't want to tell them the wheat was not going well. But they made fun of him. Amalem, they said to him, Seyu Vasel Asusin Lachamorim. So go tell that to the horses and to the donkeys, because people don't eat barley. The barley and straw, they're eaten by horses and by rechesh. Rechoshim are the speedy horses. So, in other words, why are you telling it to us? We understand that you didn't want to tell us that the tool was bad, but you shouldn't have used this lashon of the barley is good. So, my heavenly neighbor, what should he have said? So the Gemara tells us he should have said, Ishtaka, last year, Nasu Chitin Yofos, last year the wheat was very good. Or alternatively, he could have said, Inami, Adosh Nasu Yofos, the lentils, they turned out very well because that's something that a human being eats. So therefore, there would have been a better way for him to say this. Albeit, he said it with Loshonaki, he said it over here in a way that wasn't perfect, and therefore, that's the way the Gemara says would have been better to say. Perfect point to stop right at the end of the daf. With this, we conclude today's share.